is the Blue Room. 1 hour, everything Everton.
Radio City Talk.
Welcome to the Blue Room on Radio City Talk with me, Peter McPartlin, joined in the studio by Dave Bennett and Matt Jones for tonight's show. Coming up after the show, all the latest team news from Goodison Park, so stay around for that. Obviously, we're going to be talking about the Arsenal game and the American elephant in the room, gents. Tim Howard, it's a real pity that Dave Downey's not here, because it would have been epic, let's be honest. But let's do our best to replace Dave Downey tonight, I think we'll have no problem doing that. Dave, we'll start with you. Obviously, 2-1 defeat against Arsenal on Saturday. It felt like it could have been a lot worse. I mean, what's your summary of the game?
Yeah, disappointed, really. I had high hopes, being the major Optimus Prime that I am. That's what I was labelled as by someone recently.
would like to give us Transformer names, then.
No, but yeah, I mean, I fancied us to go there, to be honest. I thought that the game would suit us. We've shown under Martinez in the past we can go to the Emirates and play quite expansive football on the big pitch there, and it could be a fixture that suits us with the players we had, especially when you look into the lineup we had, and we were actually playing with two wingers. Ross Barkley predominantly seems to do well there, and I did fancy us to go and have a good go, but again it was a lethargic start, similar to the Man United game, where you just didn't really feel we got out the traps at all, and only really started forcing the issue when we were chasing the game. That being said, we probably had the better chance before Howard started getting in his masterclass in, when John Stones had that chance to put us ahead and uncharacteristically lost composure. But then, as you say, Arsenal, I'd say we're the more deserving team on the day. But when you look back and think we did miss a few good chances, and the two goals we did concede were really poor. The first one, I don't know why Howard doesn't come and even at least try and affect Giroud if he doesn't take it. And then the second one's a comedy of errors. You've got Gareth Barry with a sloppy ball, we give away a needless free kick straight from the kickoff, pretty much after the first goal. And again, Howard nowhere to be seen coming for a ball. And so you have just got to look at it as a really disappointing evening. And two defeats on the bounce coming back off this international break is really disheartening when you think of the position we were in the season. You thought we were really picking up a bit of steam, and now we're in a bit of a sticky spot, and the fixtures do seem to look a bit better on the horizon, and hopefully a chance for us to turn it round, and tonight hopefully advance in a cup competition into our last eight. So things could turn a corner pretty sharpish, but the pressure's back on them a lot now.
You go to the Emirates, don't you, and you expect to surrender a bit of initiative early on, and especially after the way they played against Bayern Munich on Tuesday, it was they were going to come out, and I thought they were on it from the off. So I can understand why we were quite cautious for those few minutes, but like Dave mentioned there, I was never really too worried in that opening spell of the game that we were going to concede the goal, because for all Arsenal's possession and the nice interplay in and around the box, they never really got behind us very often. Tim Howard didn't have to make a save really for that first half an hour, and the biggest chance in the game was John Stones' from the free kick. And I think what the difference between how we played, say, against Arsenal and how we were against Southampton earlier in the season, again, which was a game where we were happy to sit back and soak up pressure, stay compact, is that at the moment, going forward on the break, those patterns in our counter-attack and play just don't seem to quite be there. And even though Ross Barkley was picking the ball quite a lot, driving us forward, Lukaku was occupying defenders, Delafeu was in space, it never really clicked in that first half an hour. And then once you concede two really sloppy goals to Arsenal in the space of 3 minutes, you're always going to be chasing the game then. And it seems to be that in matches we don't really seem to react in an attacking sense until we have to, until we're put under pressure to go and try and chase down a two-goal lead or chase down a one-goal lead. And I've seen a great stat over the weekend that we haven't had a shot on target yet in any Premier League game in the first 15 minutes. And that's indicative of the way that we've started matches and how slow we've been out the traps. And like I mentioned, against Arsenal, you'd expect you're going to have to soak up pressure sometimes. You're not going to see a lot of the ball sometimes, but you need to preserve that threat on the counter-attack as well, a threat from set pieces, which is something we've not had in the last two games.
Yeah, I had that stat written down. Thanks, Mike. That was going to be my next point. That is a damning stat. The fact that That's every single Premier League game. It was the same, you know, you looked at us against Liverpool, you looked at us against Manchester United, and you looked at us against Arsenal, and we are so slow. And you look at other teams and how they get round. You know, you look at the Chelsea game, look how, there might have been fortune in it because Naismith came on, but look how we swarmed on them early on and we tried to get it in and about them early on and almost prove a point. The last three games, you know, against probably two of the best teams in the league and one average Liverpool side, we've been so slow to respond. And what was worse about this game for me was when we got the goal back, suddenly you looked at the players and they looked like they thought, actually, just we can get something out of this game, especially in the second half. And I didn't feel like that belief was there in the first part of the game. It felt like we're just going to contain them, but at some point we'll concede a goal. But as long as we get away with maybe losing 1-0 or 2-1, we're happy with that. It was almost going back to the Moyes days of let's get out of here alive, never mind trying to get a point. And that for me is very, very un-Roberto Martinez, or certainly a change from Roberto Martinez. I know we said a lot of last season about being, you know, we're pragmatists and going places and trying to do our best. And, you know, we've done that this season, the likes of Spurs. But for me, you know, you're going somewhere like Arsenal. They've just beaten Bayern Munich, fair enough. But try and make it like the after the Lord May show. Try and get at them early. And we all know how quickly that crowd the Emirates can turn on those players. Maybe he was a little bit in that, trying to stifle them and keep the crowd quiet. But I felt we just invited them on and on and on. And I just don't quite understand what we're trying to do at the moment. That's my biggest worry, is that I don't quite see what we're doing.
I don't think the game, there's much too wrong with the game plan, because, well, I say that, but then again, if you've got a goalkeeper in goal who can't command his area and you are sitting back and sitting deep, then that's a separate issue in itself. But teams who've gone to Arsenal over the past few seasons and done well are teams who can stay compact, sit deep, and then go forward on the break, which is something we've done well in the past. It just doesn't seem to be the execution at the moment. Those patterns that we had earlier in the season against the likes of Southampton, which was probably our best performance of the season, against Chelsea when we bombed forward and we had those sorts of plays linking up well together, that balance just doesn't seem to be there at the moment. And if once we rediscover that, I'll be more than happy seeing us going to these sorts of places and trying to play a counter-attacking style. But with the way the things are with the attack and play and the lack of balance and with the goalkeeper, it doesn't seem to be quite working at the moment.
The last two games have felt very much like last season, haven't they? Yeah. In the way that so many games last season were sort of standoffish games, where similar to what Man United and Arsenal have been in the opening exchanges, where there's not been any real clear-cut chances, but we're just so easy to score against, especially last season. That was indicative of the whole season, and obviously this season it's carried on, especially the last couple of games. And as soon as you do go 1-0 down, the pattern of the game completely changes, and then it sort of falls into type of against the bigger team like an Arsenal and Man United, where they've obviously gone on and scored another goal. We pull one back and it's a little bit too much too late when we have a rally. And that's what last season felt like so much. It just felt like the first chance of a sniff of a goal the other team could have, or a shot on target, it was in our net, and it just changed the whole course of the game. And again, if we're going back to having this same old conversation, how long can it go on for, where you have a goalkeeper that just isn't doing the basics in your goal?
Well, just hold the Tim Howard shaft for now.
No, but it's incorporated in the whole thing. Do you know, because if you're giving away 1-0 lead so readily all the time, you're making life so much harder for yourself and so much easier for the opposition. And that's what we've been doing the last two seasons. We fall behind in games so easily.
I want to this hasn't been mentioned much, and I just wanted to turn my attention to it. The formation, the way we play, 4-2-3-1 seems to be the way we play a lot. Is it getting a bit tired now and stale? Because for me, when I watched that game on Saturday, I looked at it and I just thought to myself, I look at Barry and I look at McCarthy. Barry's had a good season. And
Hear me out.
I think he has had a good season. But then I look at McCarthy and I think, what's McCarthy doing? You know, I struggle to see at times what he's doing compared to what he did in his first season, where he was everywhere. He was a full-back covering. And I just think now might be the time where we sacrifice, and this is going to seem odd from what I've just said, we sacrifice Barry.
Oh, yeah.
And because I think McCarthy, given that role on his own, and having almost the freedom to know exactly what his one job is, because at the moment, there's two of them doing almost one job, and I think that stops McCarthy. This is said about his Ireland position as well. People don't know what he does for Ireland because he's put in a position where he's there's two of them doing the one job. And when he got left alone in the Germany game, you know, we had rave reviews because he was left alone. And I think it's time now in some games, especially when you look at the home game coming up, where Barry can be sacrificed, Barkley can be played deeper, and we can afford a split striker, a real split striker, whether that be Kone, Naismith. Because at the moment, I look at it, and I looked at Saturday, and I thought, we can't get into the final third of the pitch. Our wingers, who were supposed to be extra forwards, were nowhere to be seen. They were really deep. They were getting kept back. And Romelu Lukaku, once again, is isolated. Ross Barkley's trying his best to get up with him, but just can't cover the ground. And I think that needs to be looked at now, because as much as we talk about last season, about the way we played, now having no plan B, surely the formation, there's got to be a change in that as well at times. Especially, you know, we look at Saturday's game and we know what Sunderland are going to do. They're going to come and put 11 men behind the ball and try and catch us out on a set piece, which they could easily do. We've got Tim Howard in goal. And we've got to allow our players a little bit more freedom and a little bit more space in midfield. Because how many times you see it when opposition teams come to Goodison and you look at the middle of the park and it's just full of bodies and there's no room for anyone to do anything?
Yeah, well, it's a point I wanted to make, actually. I think Barry needs bombing out the team as much as Howard needs bombing out. And you might say, yeah, he's had a good season by his standards, maybe, but it's still very sloppy and goals are being conceded by his mistakes as well. Arsenal was one, West Brom the other week another one. He's very, very sluggish. It's a sluggish player to have in there, and I agree, him being on McCarthy's toes probably is limiting what he does. I think, yeah, you could bring in Kone as a split striker up front in some games. I'd be more liable to lean towards playing cleverly in midfield now that he's back fit.
Yeah, but that's a good shout.
I'd have
mobility.
Yeah, like it's just for his dynamism. You'd have McCarthy doing the bits in front of the back four and covering the ground. Cleverly more busy and more pushed up further than what Gareth Barry would be. And then that's where Barkley might have his freedom to go and get that partnership going with Ron, because them two link up really well. And that's the way I would see it going. And I think more likely the way, well, we've got more chance of Roberto Martinez leaning towards that, because you know how much he likes Cleverly. But I'd be worried to see Cleverly shoehorn back into that left-hand side role and us drop to not even having one winger on the pitch, because he likes playing Kone on the other side as well. But because that's another point, I think the one bright spot coming out of Arsenal on Saturday, for how frustrating he can be, Gerard Deulofeu was a constant threat, and I think he has to play every game now. I think with him and Barkley on the pitch, we're so much more of a threat.
That was my point coming off the back of the Merseyside derby, where a lot of people said he had a poor game. He's always a threat.
Yeah.
And some people would have looked at him on Saturday and thought he had a bad game. But he wasn't himself as we know he can be. But he's still always a threat. And that's a really important thing. You know, you look at Romelu Lukaku and sometimes he goes on these little droughts, but then he comes back with a bang, or he'll score. Look at the West Brom game where people were saying take him off, and then he ends up doing that.
Because he plays every minute, he's allowed to make his comeback, you know what I mean?
The thing about the West Brom game as well, and I'll hop back to that, the Southampton match as well. In that Southampton game, we always played like a diamond, so Kone was coming up and playing off Lukaku. Barkley was a little bit more withdrawn. And we were getting the best out of Lukaku and Barkley, who are our two most devastating attacking players. And if we're playing a system which is restricting their best assets, then we're doing ourselves a disservice. And I just think if we change the system, brought a few fresh faces in, like you mentioned there, give McCarthy a bit more responsibility. It's something he's done with Ross Barkley this season. Excuse me. and he's relished it. He's grown into his role a bit more and he's playing a lot better. Why not do the same with McCarthy as well? You give him a new contract in the summer. Just say to him, you're going to be our holding midfield player now. You know, he's talked him up as a box-to-box, you know, Roy Keane-type player in the past, but just for the time being, at least, just say to him, you're going to sit and you're going to defend and you're going to have that key responsibility in the team.
McCarthy doesn't seem to be able to break out of that mould. I mean, I think he's got it in him to be that kind of player, but it doesn't look like he thinks he's got it in him to be that type of player, or he certainly doesn't attempt to do when he's on the pitch. So I would just, as you just said, Matt, I would just leave him in there and be the, and let him have all that responsibility, because I think he'd love that. Just him just knowing what his one job is on the pitch, that would free him up, and then that would free another attacking position up. And the way our fullbacks are at the moment, they're not really getting forward anyway, so we don't necessarily need that cover, especially at left back, where, you know, in the first season, those two were really important, covering Baines and Coleman. It's not been the same this season. It wasn't the same last season. So I think there's definitely time for a change.
1 hour, everything Everton. The Blue Room on Radio City Talk.
Welcome back to the Blue Room on Radio City Talk with me, Peter McPartland, Matt Jones and Dave Bennett. First part of the show, we dissected the Arsenal game a little bit. Now we're going to look at the root cause that I certainly feel of why we lost that game and why we seem to be under pressure so much. Tim Howard, obviously we can't ignore this, boys. It's just so much in our face now. It's something that we've been talking about for, a very long time. People didn't like it. People didn't agree. I think more people are coming around to it and seeing the glaring obvious now that, for me, certainly now, Tim Howard is past it. He's been past it for me for over a year. I'm not sure why other people didn't see it. Roberto Martinez actually stated in January he was looking for a new goalkeeper, a new long-term number one. Changed his mind for some reason. Tim Howard came back in goal. And for me, he causes mistakes every single game. And now those mistakes are costing us goals and goals that are costing us games.
it's just getting beyond the joke now, isn't it, really, that I put during the game, I went down to the Emirates on Saturday, and I was like I mentioned in the first part, I was quite happy with how we were doing for the first half an hour. I didn't think we were going to really concede the goal. And for the first one, I had a little bit of sympathy with him, because I thought it was a decent cross. Giroud's got a run on Jagielka, and I get loads of stick off him, mate, just like you mentioned there, because we go on about it all the time and say about Tim Howard, and I'm really critical of him. But the second goal, the rashness with which he dived out, the manner in which he's obviously tried to overcompensate after not getting that first goal, and just the trouble it's put us in for the rest of the game, it just reeked of a player who, like you said there, is completely past his best. He's lacking confidence, and at the moment he just seems to be in the team out of sympathy, and the time has come now. He simply has to be dropped from the side, because
is it out of sympathy, though? That's the is it?
Why else?
Does Martinez? I don't know. It's as if, like, there's, like, he's got a spell on Martinez or something.
It's like he's his old dog, and he doesn't want to put him down.
Yeah,
that's what it is. That's what it's like, though. We are fans, and some of us have favourites, and we'll always defend our favourites. But he's not a fan. This is his job. This is what he gets paid for. And this is what you know, we'll talk a little about Tim Howard, but let's talk about Roberto Martinez. I'm certainly starting to doubt the credentials of this man. If he can't see that a goalkeeper is seriously costing us points and has been for a while, and if he can't see things like that, then what else can he see? I was having this conversation yesterday, and Howard Kendall's name popped up, and one of the things that was said was, when he needed to make big decisions, he made big decisions. When he wanted Gary Lineker, he got rid of a fan's favourite in Andy Gray. Then he sold Gary Lineker and then won the league. He's seen the things that need to be done. And I'm not sure if Roberto Martinez can see the things that need to be done for the best of the side. I don't care how much he loves Tim Howard. I don't care if he's a big presence in the dressing room. I don't care if you know, he's one of his lieutenants. You know, he got the captain's armband when Jags went off on, what, you know,
that terrifies me.
That's rubbing salt in the wounds of the fans, that. And if he can't see that, then I'm sorry, but then I'm going to start to have issues with him. I know people will laugh and say, you know, polls and stuff, but there's been different polls this week about it. asking fans, and you're talking nearly 90% of fans are saying you've got to drop him now. It's becoming beyond the joke. It's been beyond the joke for me for a long time, but now it's becoming very, very clear. And that to me is that worries me about Roberto Martinez.
Well, anyone that listens to this show and has done over the last, well, the whole of Roberto Martinez's tenure will know I've always been one of his biggest fans. I've always stuck up for him. But this is a big issue for me too, because it's not just Howard. It's been other players in the team. It for me, like I mentioned before, Gareth Barry, a big one. He's underperformed at stages in his Everton career for 6, 7, 8 games and not came out. And there's another issue that's came up now with a Jagielka injury, which I'm actually excited by, because I think it's time for Jagielka to come out the team. I think I'm starting to see a few flaws in his game, and I think it was going to continue on into the next run of games. And I'm actually excited to see Funes Mori and Stones together as a pair, and I think they'll do really well. But when the issue comes back round and Jagielka gets back fit again, you just assume that he's just going to put Jagielka straight back in no matter what goes on, the same way he puts Gareth Barry straight back in, the same way he put Tim Howard straight back in after Robles kept 4 clean sheets last season. And that is a really worrying aspect of his management, that some players will get a shirt regardless. And if it continues on in this vein, he is going to lose fans and ones that have stuck by him all the way, and he's going to lose them quickly as well.
Go on, Matt.
You just covered it all. I mean, I just look at the two goals. I mean, we've conceded 7 goals in our last 4 games, and 4 of them have been from headers inside the 6-yard box now. And it's just, this is something that could potentially define his career as Everton manager, Roberto Martinez, because it's becoming such a glaring issue. And I just don't understand. People say Robles is worse. Joe Robles is not. He's not as good as Tim Howard. But what point?
Who bought him and who hasn't bought another goalie?
Exactly.
Then?
But what point does it have to get to before someone's took off the team? I mean, this would be, I know goalkeepers are unique and they hold by different standards, but this, the only thing I can think of which would be equivalent to it is if Romelu Lukaku was getting a few one-on-ones a game and he was missing them glaringly every time, because it's becoming that costly to the team. And if you go to the Emirates and you're under pressure and you need your goalkeeper and you see any players to take responsibility, stand up, make decisive contributions in the football match, not dally on the ball, which he did in the first half an hour, inviting Giroud to come and close him down, and nearly losing the ball, not being trapped to your line when you need to come and relieve pressure.
There's the one in the second half where he was like chasing the centre forward around the box, and he was on his back, and they basically had an open goal. But luckily enough, our players managed to clear it.
But you see players like Barkley and Deulofeu always wanting the ball, always taking responsibility, willing to take risks for the team, and that's not something he's doing. He seems terrified. He seems stuck to his line. And then when he does make an error in matches, he makes rash decisions as well.
Going back to the second goal, he doesn't attempt to go for the ball. He just makes a judgment. He just throws himself out. I mean, the counter argument is, every time there's a mistake, someone will say, well, why look at the first goal. Why didn't Jags win the header? You know, why hasn't he won the header? Where's the defending? It was a fantastic ball and all these counter-arguments. But that's his box. He's a goalkeeper. He's got one job. It's to save the ball. And he's not doing that. Defenders have lots of other things they need to be doing at times. It's not as simple as saying, well, why didn't they just defend the ball or clear the ball? They've got lots of things going on. And sometimes attacking players are better than defenders, you know, at certainly winning the ball in the air. You know, Jagielka's not the tallest of players either.
It's not Jagielka's ball to go for at all. Once it's cleared this head like that, him backtracking and trying to win it makes things harder for Tim Howard to come and get it. He's got every reason to think in his mind that Tim Howard is coming and claiming that ball, because it's in the goalkeeper's zone. It's not even a corridor of uncertainty. It's in Tim Howard's zone, and you see it when it first gets crossed in. Howard make the step to come and get it, and it is like he's just terrified. Either terrified or someone's got an invisible lasso on him.
We said this after the Man City game, and it's when he conceded the first goal. It's like that. He doesn't trust his reflexes, or his reflexes are so bad now that he's making a judgment call beforehand. It was like the first goal when he put it in the near post. He anticipated the ball going across him, so went that way, and the ball's just gone in. And that to me means he's finished. It sometimes it can creep up very quickly, and sometimes players recognise it. I remember when Gary Neville basically got destroyed against West Brom, I think it was.
Yeah.
And like the next day, he just went, "I'm finished. Yeah. I mean, I can't keep up, and I'm done." Yeah. Other players, they let it drag on. You know, Phil Neville springs to mind. You know, that's what happens. But it's the manager, I'm sorry, but the manager's got to put him out of his. Just got to put him out.
Old Yeller.
What my big worry is, I mean, you know, Joe Robles is playing tonight. But in the press conference yesterday, Roberto Martinez pretty much made it clear that no matter how well he played, Tim Howard's back on Sunday.
That doesn't make sense.
Unless he's just trying to say, just concentrate on the game. That to me is a disgrace. Because no one should be certain of a place in this team, especially not someone who's continually letting us down.
And that's what the whole point of someone getting the chance in a cup game's about. It's their chance to make a mark. And what incentive have they got if they're getting told there's no light at the end of the rainbow? You're just there for that night. It doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever.
And other teams are definitely clocking onto this, by the way, now and targeting it because if the way that the game's analysed now, and you know, it seems in the media people don't really give Tim Howard much criticism
because
they look at him and go,
he's not a top four keeper. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
He's a solid goalkeeper. He does okay, and because of that, you know, a lot of people think, oh, he's no one's going to talk to him, no one's going to put real pressure on him. But the way that teams analyse matches now, Sunderland next weekend, Allardyce will be saying to their players, just get the ball in that 6-yard box every time you can, and it's going to hinder us again.
If that'd be Petr Cech on Saturday, they would have destroyed him like they did in the first game we played, and he conceded the goal. They would have absolutely destroyed him. But because it's Everton and because it's Tim Howard, they're not that bothered because we're not a threat and we don't affect anything, and it doesn't really matter. But you're absolutely spot on what you're saying, because I was having an argument with someone on Twitter on Saturday, and no surprise that they were American, because America really like to defend them, and that's, I can understand why, he's their boy and stuff, and you know, but someone said to me, well, statistically, he's one of the top five goalkeepers in the Premier League. And I was astonished by what they were saying. And I said to them, well, he's not. He said, well, he is, because the stats back it up. I said, well, my eyes back up what I'm saying. And But the point being is, what you've just said there, he's being targeted by the opposition, and stats can't show that. He's been, you know.
But what are the stats? What were they telling you?
I think they were just saves. No, all those nonsense saves he made. Yeah, like exactly. The one he made on Saturday when it was going out for the goal.
A bread and butter save.
Yeah.
So that doesn't equate to anything.
And that's what he gets away with every week, though. Like in the Man City game, where he was making saves that were right at him. And yet he got given man of the match. And yet he let in two awful goals.
He got man of the match against Man City?
Yeah.
Who
by? By the loungers.
That's mad.
And I got a picture with him.
David Downey said, didn't he, to be fair, he made a great point. There's a difference between making a save and making a stop. They're two completely different things, because you can make stops, which is saves that are straight at you, like most of those ones for Belgium were in the World Cup against them. And you can make saves where you think, he had no right to get that. He saved his team a goal there.
Check.
And there's a complete difference
Check
between
the
two.
Check on Saturday.
Yeah.
He wins them the game. We have one chance. Okay, Lukaku should have buried the header. Mm. We have one chance. And not only does he save it, but the fact that it's Petr Cech coming out probably already put the doubt in Deulofeu's mind about scoring it. But and he said he wins them the game.
He was decisive in what he did.
Yeah,
he was fast. He was decisive, exactly. And he made the save straight away.
Wasn't there a stat last season that we were the team with the lowest shots on target save percentage? That I'm sure that was a stat last season. I'm pretty sure that was a stat.
A lot of stats about Tim Howard last season. But, lots and lots.
But, do you know, as you say, what stat's going to tell you that he was stuck to his line and let Danny Ings head the ball in from 3 yards out? You know what I mean?
It doesn't matter. That's what I'm saying. Sure, he might, you know, he might be saving a lot of shots, but that's like saying, well, the Bournemouth keeper, you know, saving a lot of shots because he's the Bournemouth keeper. He's going to have a lot more shots at him. It's absolutely ridiculous. Stats don't mean nothing. And as we've said, he's being targeted. And there's other issues of his game. How slow he is. I was watching Hart last week. Hart set up two goals for Man City because he gets the ball, gets his head up, and kicks and can kick really accurate balls. Howard gets the ball, slows it down. And that was another thing Arsenal did on Saturday, like you said before, where they almost got the ball off him. They targeted him. Every time he had the ball at his feet, they chased after him because he's not very good with his feet.
It's no coincidence Giroud played for me either, because, you know, straight away, they were putting balls into the box. set piece, like that one they had on the set piece from the corner, how many times you see Arsenal take that short and work it out to the box and try and do something like that with it? That's what they've done all the time under Wenger. And exactly what I was going to say. Yeah. When did you see them score a set
they
piece
don't
like that?
They score headed goals, but they target them. And one thing I was going to, when you were talking about Jags before, I'd say, what, right, Funes Mori coming into the side, and this saddens me, might actually save Tim Howard's Everton career.
Yeah, because he'll think it's like going to be too risky to play Joel behind. Yeah.
No, not
he's great
that.
In the air.
Because he's great in the air. Because every time there's a set piece comes over, Funes Mori will probably win it before it actually gets to Tim Howard. So he might actually save Tim Howard's career.
My thought on that was that he might think, you know, Joel going in behind a new defensive partnership.
Yeah, I understand that.
I could see why he wouldn't do it because of
but
that.
But after Funes Mori came on Saturday, watch how many times he won the ball in the air. He stopped the ball getting anywhere near Howard before it even got there. Now, maybe people can point fingers at our centre defenders and say, well, that's what they should have been doing. But that actually might save Tim Howard. I hope it should. I hope it doesn't, because I hope the manager needs to be making that decision.
And the most worrying thing for me to wrap it all up was it's just the player's body language now. When we can see goals. Look at John Stones' reaction. Jagielka's, Gareth Barry's, good pros who are like looking at him as if to say, "What are you doing, lad?"
Yeah.
It's like they've completely lost faith in him, and that just breeds uncertainty throughout the team if you don't trust your goalkeeper.
If you don't trust your keeper, you've got none. Joel is in goal tonight. Now, he's got to have a good game. He's got to be decisive. And I know I don't want to see too many shots go at him, but he's got to be decisive in everything he does. You know, if he's coming out, he's got to take everything clean, because like you were saying earlier, Matt, there is this argument out there where people go, well, there's no replacement for Tim Howard, so he's got to stay in goal. So Joel tonight can't give anyone any excuses. He's got to be on top of his game. He's got to be taking everything cleanly. We've seen him in the past where he's come in for one-off games and he's not been at his best. You know, he looks tentative. He'll make little mistakes. Tonight he's got to be on top of every basic thing to make sure that he gives himself every possible chance, because it is seriously his chance now to take.
Now, before we came on air, I think Dave said that he could save four penalties and score a goal and still not get in the team. But like you mentioned, hopefully he won't have much to do tonight. But it's the case of any player, really, when they've been out the side for a while, that they do struggle to get back into a rhythm. And you see it with strikers, where they look rusty in front of goal, midfielders struggling to get into the pace of the game. So it wouldn't surprise me if he was a little bit rusty in some areas. But the annoying thing is, when he did come into the team and did get that run last season for one time, he was commanding. And you look at the two goals we've seen against Arsenal, and I think back to that Crystal Palace game last season, around February time, he was coming and getting everything, punching them away, taking defenders, taking attackers with him at the same time. So it might take him a bit of time to build that sort of confidence up again. But like you mentioned, unless he comes in and has a storm, it's tough to see him changing Martinez's mind, really.
And the same goes for the Tom Cleverley situation. Obviously, Gareth Barry misses out on this game because he's suspended. Again, Cleverley, you want to see him come in and just hopefully play in that midfield role that we were talking about earlier. Show Martinez that he's the man to be playing there on the weekend, and make it hard for him to bring Gareth Barry straight back in as well.
Yeah.
So there's a few players today that need to put a mark on this game.
I think this is I know it's a massive important game, because obviously we want to go as far as we can in this cup and obviously win this tonight and win it through to the quarterfinals. And if you get a home draw, who knows? But I think the all-round feeling, the place, we've got to win tonight, because, you know, Sunderland coming up on Sunday, if we win this tonight, it suddenly changes things, because if we lose, everything will be doom and gloom. We've got Sunderland coming off the back of a win against Newcastle. They're just going to bunker in on Sunday. They're going to try and play on. They're going to be a lot more organised. Let's be honest, they're going to be a lot more organised. They're coming off a 3-0 win. They're going to be looking to play on the break, get set pieces and try and snatch it. And suddenly then, what looks like an easier period of games, I mean, the next nine games are very, very winnable.
Yeah.
You know, I know there's teams like Leicester in there and Palace who are doing well, but it is up to the turn of the year, they're very, very winnable. And you don't want to be going into that period desperate for a win, because that's what happened last season. We were desperate for wins and you could feel the anxiety on and off the pitch. And those wins suddenly became draws because we were all over the pitch. We were, you know, I go back to the West Brom game last season, obviously with the penalty debacle. We were desperate for a win that night, and suddenly the desperation took over and we just couldn't get a win. And I think if we got a win tonight, suddenly you look at Sunderland in a very, very different way. You think, yeah, we'll go against them on Sunday and we'll beat them, and then the next game we'll win. And you know, you've got the likes of Villa coming up, and Bournemouth, and Palace, and teams like this that we should be beating, really, if we want to finish anywhere in the European places. So it's a huge night for me tonight.
Oh, yes. So sorry, Matt. I was going to say it's night and day, because you win tonight. We have a cup draw on Wednesday. You could have another home draw. You're in the quarterfinals. It could be a winnable tie. And you, all of a sudden, the fans are thinking about Wembley and how tangible that's starting to feel. And especially in a year when you think Kendall's obviously just left us, and you start to think, starting to think of omens, of thinking that this could be the year we actually win something. Yeah. And the feel good factor a cup run breeds into a place, and how loose it'll make the players is ideal going into this run of games. Ped, as you say, they are very winnable, but on very winnable games on paper, tend not to be the case for Everton. And as you say, Sunderland coming on a Sunday early kickoff, that the place could either be a morgue or have a bit of bounce about it, and a win tonight is vital, because how often do we go on about this League Cup and how it's the easiest cup to win? We've never won it. We never seem to do any. We obviously had the semi in 08, but nothing of note other than that. And it's right there for the taking. It's right in front of you. And tonight is such a big game in our season.
It's important we get back to playing well at home as well, and winning matches at home, because we've won one in our last eight games at Goodison, which is... Well, under Moyes, we were always really reliable at home, weren't we? And you could guarantee that we would be really, really tough to beat, and a team would have to come to Goodison Park and play really well to beat us. So it's to only have won one in our last eight is a really poor return. And like you mentioned there, I think Norwich tonight are going to come and they're going to make it hard, aren't they? They're going to do a similar sort of job to Sunderland, try and make themselves compact, make it hard to break them down. And if we go and we put out a really attacking team, lot of whiff, we start the game well for a change, give everyone a boost, the atmosphere will be completely different going into the Sunderland game.
Yeah, I think an early goal tonight will be massive. Norwich on the back of three defeats, they've been doing quite well away from home. I think that's where they've been playing the best football. But a big, you know, an early goal tonight would be massively important for everyone, just to lift the place, because we have been beaten by two of the best sides, but I don't really think in either game we give a best impression of ourselves. You know, I think we were... against Man United, we were obviously very poor, and for large spells of the Arsenal game, we were poor as well. Just got to have that belief about us tonight. I think that we can win it, because you just think Norwich, you know, Tuesday night after the back of three games, if we get an early goal, they'll just be thinking, well, here we go again, and you know, they'll probably just contain it. Or leave spaces for us to take anyway.
Yeah, I just hope he's not too experimental with the lineup. As I've said from the start of the season, and I say every season in the League Cup, play it as if it's a league game. Now I understand he's obviously going to rotate Joel for Howard, and thankfully he is going to do that. But other than that, I'd like to see pretty much our full-strength team out. I'd like to see Joel playing with what would be the back four on Saturday in front of him: Galloway, Stones, Murray and Coleman. I wouldn't want to see that messed with. Obviously, I'd like to see Cleverley come in for Barry, but I want to see Barkley playing, I want to see Delafeo playing, and I want to see Lukaku playing, because why look disinterested in the competition when we've pointed out all the obvious pluses, and we could be in Europe by February or March, whenever the final is. This has got to be taken seriously, and the Barnsley game should be the wake up call, because we could have easily went out that night through messing around with the team too much.
In both the games we did that, didn't we? He made too many changes and somehow we managed to get through. But I've mentioned it loads of times, it'd be great for this young core of players. We've got to get that winning mentality instilled early in the careers, and if we are going to preserve this nexus of players that we're going to build the team around for years to come, if they've got that inherent knowledge in them, that they can go to Wembley and they've got the experience of winning a cup final, winning semi-final matches, that's going to be crucial to them going forward, and hopefully for us to win more trophies.
Exactly, and I think, you know, it's massive for the players to play in these things, get that win under the belt or get a trophy under the belt, certainly for them, for everyone at the club, the fans as well. The fans need to have that belief as well, and you know, if we could get it, I mean, I'm lucky. I've seen us win trophies, but there's so many people out there who haven't seen it, And I think as soon as you've got one, it just makes everyone hungry for the next one, for the reason of the days out at Wembley, yeah, or just because the people are hungry for win trophies. Football, that's what it's all about. People can keep on telling you that it's about getting Champions League football. It's not. It's about winning trophies. It's as simple as that. And, you know, it's good.
We'd have to all eat our words if Tim Howard won the penalty shootout for us in the final at Wembley, wouldn't we?
I'm afraid we wouldn't. I'm sorry. I'm rigid on that. I don't care. I'm very, very rigid on that. But, you know, it's got to happen sooner or later. And you look how seriously you took the Europa League last season, which is a much harder trophy to win, right? It's a longer trophy to win, and obviously with two-legged games. I mean, you know, as you were saying, tonight, get through tonight and get a fortunate draw at home. Because, you know, you do look at those other teams, the big teams are in it. They're coming into spells now where the Champions League's more important. And, you know, they're playing... Yeah. You have to look at someone like Arsenal. You know, they've still got a Champions League group to get through. And looking at the Premier League now, seriously. So suddenly this trophy for them becomes lower down. Chelsea again, they're another one. They're all...
And so, I mean, you draw one of them at Goodison. It's an inconvenience for them.
Exactly.
And even teams like Norwich, they're probably more focused on staying in the Premier League, aren't they? And, you know, they've lost three in a row in the league now, conceded six goals away at Newcastle. They're probably just thinking about getting back on track in the league and getting 3 points there. They might come to Goodison tonight, rest a few players themselves and be there for the taking.
I think we've seen that the other teams in the Premier League, you know, the big teams, because it's such a mad mix this season, that this has become, I think this will be an inconvenience for them, and it will be about those other teams around us who we can, you know, at Goodison or away, we can beat on our day. We've just got to make sure this is our number one priority, I think, for the next, well, when it comes around. It's simple as that. I mean, you know, it only comes around once, once a month or you know, over the next couple of months. So it's got to be the number one thing.
It's got to be. Got to be. I mean, it's one of them, though. It does Martinez see that?
Yeah.
He can't see that Tim Howard's got to come out the team. So surely he can see that this is the best route for Everton's season, to be in Europe, have that trophy and cement himself as a really big part of Everton's history, to have brought a trophy for the first time in two decades. It's the easiest route to him doing that. And if he can't see that, then it's more fuel him, and it will be another nail in his coffin if we go out through him neglecting it via his formations and teams that he puts out.
It just takes the pressure off as well, doesn't it, for the rest of the season? Because if we're in and around the top six places and we are still with a chance at top four, and we've got Europa League secured, we've got a trophy secured, then you can go into games, and if it's 0-0 going into the last 70 minutes, you've got more of a security blanket then. I need to throw more attacking players on, go for it a little bit more, be a little bit more ambitious. So it just give everyone a massive lift at the football club, and it really would transform us in terms of mentality, make a major difference.
That game aside, obviously we've mentioned before, Sunderland on Sunday, that's got to be 3 points, hasn't it? That's got to be just a...
They're poor. They are so poor.
They're going to be more organised, but they're poor.
They're terrible. I mean, they obviously went to West Brom. They got beat there. Mm. Obviously, that up against another organised team in Pulis. But that derby on Sunday, I mean, we talk about being cursed in derbies. Newcastle are cursed because they're the much better team there. And as you say, the situation, I did think it was a penalty. I thought the red card was harsh. I thought the red card was harsh. In no way was there a goal scoring opportunity, in my opinion. But they're just, Sunderland have a touch, and it's like they don't just come away with 1-0, they seem to roll them like 3-0 without doing anything and being so poor. It's mental.
They beat us at Goodison in the last two seasons, haven't they, as well? Like,
well, that was their last win before the other day, the win at Goodison last year.
At least they've got a win then. At least they've got a win under the belt.
Oh yeah, I can't imagine that's coming back.
at least that's something, that they've got a win under the belt before they come to Goodison. Maybe that'll make it a better game. But again, it's got to be 3 points, as simple as that. Right, thanks to the guys for coming in again tonight, just before obviously a big game. We're all legging it to Goodison Park now, honestly. Right, this has been The Blue Room. We'll see you next week. Good night.
The Blue Room, Radio City Talk.